Welcome to worship at Advent this morning. For you guests, right now we are not singing during the music. Some of us, like me, I sing along very softly, but always off the mic, because it would not be edifying. And always off key, that's true. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one body and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. For our prayer this morning, we're going to use the Gloria, which is normally sung, but please join with me. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated.
Good morning. Today's first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 1 to 7. It may seem unusual to read high praise for a Gentile king in the Hebrew Bible, but as Isaiah offers it nonetheless. The prophet declares Cyrus, the king of Persia, as God's own anointed, actually using the Hebrew word Messiah. How can this be? As usual with Scripture, historic context is everything. The people had been in exile in Babylon for 40 years, dreaming of the destroyed city of Jerusalem and the temple that they had lost. They had failed to love their neighbor and care for the weak and needy. Thus, they broke the covenant with God that had earned them the promised land. Now, led by the wise king that history knows as Cyrus the Great, the Persians have conquered Babylon, and Cyrus sent them home, showing them that even a Persian king responds to God's command. This is from Isaiah chapter 45. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. And though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Our psalm for this morning is found in our bulletin on page 3. It's likely no coincidence that the lectionary planners chose to follow Isaiah's praise for Cyrus, the great Persian king, with a brisk reminder that God remains king among all kings, before whom the whole earth trembles. God created all things and will judge all things, fairly and with equity, the psalmist sings. Heaven and earth, thunder and lightning, all the fields and all the forest will rejoice when God comes to judge in righteousness and truth, this psalm portion concludes. So the psalm is Psalm 96 on page 3 in the bulletin. Let's read together in unison. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is more to be feared than all gods. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But it is the Lord who made the heavens. Oh, the majesty and magnificence of his presence. Oh, the power and splendor of his majesty. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second reading this morning is from the book of 1 Thessalonians. This Sunday we begin a five-week visit with 1 Thessalonians, a letter written by Paul around the year 50 AD. Thus, it is the earliest document in the New Testament. In its pages, Paul praises this small community in Thessalonica in northern Greece, who had been persecuted for giving up the dominant Roman religion that Paul and the early Christians considered pagan. The Thessalonian people's faith, Paul says, had inspired many converts, who were now waiting for Jesus to rescue them from the wrath that is coming. At that time, a bare 20 years after the crucifixion, early Christians still expected Jesus to come back soon to judge and establish the kingdom of God on earth. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. This is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by your faith, your labor by love, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became the imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew. I'm reading from Matthew 22, starting at verse 15. This is just a week before Jesus goes to the cross, and it's a story of another time when the religious and political leaders are coming together to try to trap him so they can take him away and kill him. It's very hard to focus on you guys when there are three beautiful babies right here. Starting at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went up and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their malice and said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax." And they brought to him a denarius, and he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As I turned around toward the altar, I just was struck by the beautiful pyramids that are here, where you see the stylized cross extend right up into the covering for the chalice, which we'll use later for communion. I think that's whoever did that, that's really remarkably done. But the whole thing, that's beautiful, but if it's not here, it doesn't mean a thing. This morning, in a couple of the scriptures, we heard about Cyrus and how God speaks to leaders, and how we can expect that he would shape the government in the way that he would want. The thing is, I'm not going to talk about that today. I want to speak this morning about baptism. Since we have the baptism of three babies, I thought that would be appropriate to try to understand. There are two major celebrations in the Christian church and our type of church, that is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And as such a core one, I want to speak to it from my perspective. And you may have heard about this little boy, but there was a boy whose family went to a Baptist church. If you go to a Baptist church, you don't say Baptist, you say Baptist. It's a B rather than a P. But anyway, he grew up there as a little boy, and one day there were several baptisms in the baptismal tank. And as he saw that, he thought about it. He himself had been baptized already, and he thought, "I have three beautiful cats at home, and I want to make sure they go to heaven with me." So when he got home that day after church, he took the three cats into the bathroom, two kittens and a mama. And he took the baby kittens, filled the bathtub with water, dunked the kittens. They were okay, didn't fuss that much. But Mama fussed a lot. Her claws extended and she snarled. And he tried twice and it still didn't work. And finally, he, in frustration, he said to the mama cat, "All right, if you want to be an Episcopal all your life, that's all right with me." Oh, thank you very much. In different churches, there are different ways that baptism is looked at. Infant baptism, believer's baptism, rebaptism. In my experience in the Lutheran church and in non-denominational churches, I have baptized babies. I have baptized adults who had no experience in the church. I've baptized Christians who have come to faith and as an adult but wanted to make the decision for themselves to be baptized. And so they would be rebaptized again. That was my experience. I was baptized as a newborn in an old stone church in Denmark. And when I came to faith, I wanted to do that for myself, and I was baptized in the Atlantic Ocean. And I did a lot like that mother cat did. It was kind of scary. But concept being, the Bible says there's just one baptism. And I believe it's actually the one that's in your heart when God washes away that which is a stain in your life. And to try to understand why infants are baptized, I love history. And in the history, the early history of the Christian church, there was a lot of persecution. And in catacombs underneath the capital in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, there were burial sites of children that died a little bit prematurely. And underneath they would say birth date, and then they would say baptismal date. So this is not something that started in the Middle Ages with the Reformation. It started almost in the beginning. And my understanding of what history teaches is that here are new Christians, the first generation of Christians after Pentecost, desperately want to pass on to their children what they have experienced. And so then informally, in the local gatherings, they would baptize with water their children because of the concept of the new covenant. The New Testament is sometimes called the new covenant, that under the new covenant, families can come to Christ, and so they did that. That's not the only way that baptism is done, but I think it's a valid way, and it explains why we baptize infants. But I want to explain it briefly through the concept of the story of Israel under Moses' leadership escaping from Egypt into the desert on their way to the Promised Land. It's in Exodus 14. And you know, it's a familiar story about the slaves coming to the edge of the Red Sea, being chased by the Egyptian army. They're stuck unless God does something. And he opens up two walls of water for the Israelites to go through. They make it to dry land on the other side. And then as Moses raises his hands again, the waters close in over the huge Egyptian army. And afterwards in the morning, the Israelites see the bodies of the soldiers and chariots that had been washed up on the shore. So it's a powerful image. And here's what I'd like you to think about in terms of water baptism. The Israelites weren't touched by water, but their past was buried by the water in the same way that when we come to Jesus, that our past is dealt with when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And when you look at babies, you can think, what could possibly be wrong with little babies? We had three, and they were pretty selfish. It's pretty self-centered. Yours probably aren't, but that's how ours were. And a part of that flawed old nature is what baptism deals with. It doesn't mean that we ever are perfected, but it means that the relationship with God is restored. And so the concept of the Red Sea deliverance, like baptism, is that the Israelites went through as true believers. There came a time when the Israelites, seeing the Egyptian army behind them, had to say, I'm going to trust that Moses and God are really going to deliver us. And they had to go into a dry seabed, seeing walls of water on each side and the Egyptian army behind them. And so that was a step of saying yes. And baptism is like that. Today the parents will be saying yes for their children. But it's the same idea. Can this really save and change me? And the answer, according to Scripture, is yes. By water and the Holy Spirit, our lives are changed. One of the things that I think is impactful about baptism is that it's a sign that there's nothing that I can do to earn God's favor. There's nothing that I can do to get right with God. I can't live a holy enough life to please him. And baptism demonstrates that. I yield myself as a baby or as an adult to the water of baptism, asking that God would cleanse me and allow me to have a new start in him. And to me, it's a powerful thing. So God protected the Israelites from the harm of the Egyptians. The Egyptians represented the old life. And here's a part of what I think is important for adults. Like me, you probably have areas in your past that you're not proud of, that you would love a chance to do over. Well, we can't. But what happens when we come to faith is the past is dealt with. It's no longer a burden on our lives. It's gone to Jesus. It's rested on his shoulders when he went to the cross. And the Bible says that we are buried with Christ in the same way that when he went to the cross and to the ground, that we went with him our old lives, and we rise with him in resurrection. It's an amazing thing to try to grasp. It's something that we'll never fully understand until we're in heaven. The Israelites could have chosen to go back, but they chose to go forward believing in the Lord. And the truth is, the Egyptians all died, which is your past and my past. It's gone. It's history. It no longer has claim over your life because you're no longer a slave to the past. You're free in Christ. And a part of what that means then for me, it's a very special way of God communicating and imparting his love to us in the way that he cares for us. When a child is baptized, the prayer is always that he or she would come to a personal living relationship with Jesus. Generally doesn't happen at the moment of baptism for an infant, but that's the prayer that would happen later. It happened for me later. I was 31. But you come to that place where you realize Jesus is real and he wants to have a say in my life and wants to come into my heart. It changed everything. So water baptism is a powerful reminder of God's grace. When you leave this morning, you'll see to the left in the stained glass window the water of baptism coming out of a shell, similar to what I will use to pour water over the baby's heads. It's what God gives us just because of his love. I have 3 children and 12 grandkids, and in order to please me, what they need to do is absolutely just be my kids, just be my grandkids. They don't have to do anything. I love them just because of who they are. And that is a part of what Christian faith is. God does not love us because of what we give to him. He loves us for who we are, his children. And we come into the faith that way, having earned nothing, having done nothing, but received him as Lord. And as Christians then, we need to live remembering that we've been freed from Egypt, the past is over, and for children that have never lived through the bondage to the past, to remind them, here's what God through Jesus has done in our lives, how it changes everything. That was true for my life when I came to know Jesus. Then I wanted to tell my children, here's what God has done, here's what God's word speaks to us. And so I encourage all of you to think about what your baptism means, that it's an example of the pure, free grace of God. All that he asks is that we, at some point in our life, say, yes, Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? It transforms your life. It prepares you for eternity. Now we get to the highly emotional part of the service. Let's present the children for baptism. Would the family, godparents, and friends come forward? I said to the parents before the service that my practice in years past has been to take each child and after the baptism to walk them around the church and have the kids, the adults greet them. We're not going to do that. That would not be good in a COVID season. So we will be asking the parents to hold their babies as I baptize. So we present Gabriella Catherine Lynn. She's not paying attention to me. Gideon James DeFranco, who might be asleep. And Eliana Lynn DeFranco. And she's asleep with that special pink pacifier in her mouth. I love it. Now this is to the parents and godparents. I ask you to respond to the first two questions, and an appropriate answer would be something like, I will with God's help. Will you be responsible for seeing that these children you present are brought up in the Christian faith and life? And secondly, will you, by your prayers and witness, help these children to grow into the full stature of Christ? Now, on behalf of your child and really because of yourself and your faith, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? If so, please answer, I renounce them. I don't think she's that impressed, but she's at least looking at me. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? If so, please answer, I renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you away from the love of God? And also the appropriate response is, I renounce them. And then for the last three, you could respond, I do. No, I'm not marrying anyone. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? Now I want to address the congregation, and eventually we're going to stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Will you witness these vows? Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these children and their life in Christ? If so, please answer, we will. Let us now join Gabriella, Gideon, and Eliana, who are being committed to Christ, and renew our own baptismal covenant. Please stand. Do you ever have the issue that masks fog up your glasses? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? And from the to the following questions, if you would respond appropriately, I will with God's help. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for these children who are to receive the sacrament of new birth. Dick?
Deliver them, O Lord, from the way of sin and death. Lord, hear our prayer. Open their hearts to your grace and truth. Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit. Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church. Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit. Send them into the world to witness to your love. Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant, O God, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look to him for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. It is your Son. In it your Son Jesus received the baptism of John. and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we're reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship now those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, my microphone is causing an issue. Now, sanctify this water, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who are here cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him and to you and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Now, just about right here is good. Then first, Gabriella. I know, it's kind of scary. Hey, cutie. Gabriella, Catherine Lynn, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll keep it right here. Now we have Gideon James DeFranco. I do not want to disturb him. Gideon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sleep tight. Then this is Eliana Lynn DeFranco. And she's a little bit awake. Yes, she's awake. Eliana, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. She's more like one of those kittens. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon these, your servants, the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all of your works. Amen. Now I'm going to seal them with the sign of the cross using anointing oil, which is a tradition in both the Old and New Testaments. First, Gabriella. And I will just really briefly touch your forehead. Hey, cutie. I mark you with the sign of the cross in Jesus' name. And I pray for your life that you be strong and that at an early age you come to know Jesus in a way that you will lead many others to faith. Amen. Now we have Gideon. Gideon, I mark you with the sign of the cross. And I seal you with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in an example of the man Gideon of the Bible, that you would learn to be strong in God and stand up against darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Eliana, I mark you with the sign of the cross in Jesus' name and seal you with the Holy Spirit. And what I see in your life, I see melody coming forth from you, that you will make beautiful music to the Lord from your heart and from your mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I could do this all day. So good. How do you welcome them into the fellowship? Why don't we do it this way? We receive you guys into the household of God as you confess the faith of Christ crucified through your parents, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. For all of you, the peace of the Lord be with you. Go in peace. Why don't you just take a moment to share peace with those around you without getting too close? just about had the vapors.
You know, baptism is one of the most moving sacraments that we have in the church. And I got to tell a story on Paul. You may not have noticed it, parents, but when he was blessing each of the three kids, I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking through him with those words that he chose. Those are not man's words. So, the bulletin has several announcements. I'd like to draw your attention to some of them. For the visitors with us this morning, the vestry, which is our lay leadership council, met last Tuesday night and voted to issue a call to Father Ben Randall as the next rector of Advent Episcopal Church. I think you guys were with us when he was here. He's a Brit, 36-year-old Brit. The vestry unanimously and enthusiastically voted to call him. We believe that the Holy Spirit has been present during this entire process, that we've been interacting with him for the last 6 or 7 months. He met with us that evening that he was here in church, and it's been a powerful time of sharing and testimony between ourselves and him. Tuesday night, after the vestry voted, Ray Bassoni, the junior warden, and I called him and gave him the good news, and he was pleased with that decision. There have been several emails back and forth between he and myself. We spent 2 hours together on the phone yesterday talking through a whole bunch of issues. I have to say in all honesty that this is not a done deal by any means. Father Ben feels called here, but he also has a number of decisions that impact his life. And so that's what he and God and we are working through right now. I have to say that I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, but that is in the Lord's hands, not our hands, for the determination of the next steps. One of the issues that we spent a lot of time talking about yesterday, his wife is a type 1 diabetic, and so the healthcare program that we offer is of real importance and concern to them, and so we're trying to work through those issues. Many others as well, but the dialogue goes on, and I feel like, again, the Lord's hand is on this whole process. Whatever the Lord chooses to happen here is in his hands, but we remain hopeful. So oftentimes in our services, kind of pre-COVID, we use clipboards as a means of offering people the opportunity to sign up for social activities or prayer activities or whatever. We do have clipboards. They are in on the table where you entered the church. There are three sign-up sheets on those clipboards. One is for prayers for the election. So we have allocated time between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock this Sunday, the next Sunday, and the Sunday before the election. We're asking people to sign up for half-hour segments of time to pray for the election. There are people have already signed up, but you know, plenty of people can pray. So there's space on the list for you to add your name. This is a critical time. We all hear that in the news every day. It's a critical time for our country. We pray that you will pray with us that the Lord's will be done in this election. Also on that, those clipboards are sign-up sheets for All Saints Day coming up on November 1st and Veterans Day on November 8th. And I'd like Bruce Finch to tell us a little bit more about what is planned there.
Morning. Veterans Day this year is Wednesday, November 11th. So we are going to celebrate it here at Advent the Sunday before, on November the 8th. And what's on the clipboard are the roll call of the names and the branch of service of our immediate family veterans. So we have taken last year's roll call. It's on two sheets of paper. There's two clipboards, and both clipboards have the exact same two sheets of paper of the roll call. So those are the names and branches of service that we had from last year's sign-up. So what we're asking is for you to review those sheets as you exit out into the main lobby. And if you have another immediate family member that is not on that sheet, please just write their name in and a branch of service. And then we're going to do this for three Sundays in a row, so to give every opportunity to try and get our immediate family members, veterans' names on there and branch of service. And now I'd like to just take a minute, if I may, and give you a personal update on my situation. I had a motorcycle accident about 2.5 months ago. And what's a 75-year-old doing riding on a motorcycle? Well, 10 years ago, my son passed away at age 36 from an illness, and his Harley-Davidson was his pride and joy. Well, when we took care of his estate, I couldn't get rid of the motorcycle because it meant so much to him, but I never rode before. So I got a lawyer and had the title transferred to my name, took some private lessons how to ride, and pretty much stuck to small roads in the Metro Park. Well, every year, Brother Ray Busoni and myself, and sometimes Jason, we ride the entire Metro Park here in Cleveland, all the way from the west side to the east side and back. It's 120 miles. Well, this year we did our excursion, and we were returning home and got about 20 miles back away from home, and we had to turn onto a city street to get back into the Metro Park, and lots of trucks and cars and everything going on that city street. As I made the right-hand turn onto that city street, I hit some stones, and the front wheels just ran out. 800-pound motorcycle slammed into my right leg and ankle like a sledgehammer. And I was pinned under the motorcycle, couldn't get out. Thank God all of the cars and trucks in both directions were able to stop and didn't run into me because I was right in the middle of the road. Somebody must have made a phone call because three police cars and an ambulance were there in about 2 minutes. Well, I was pretty shook up, and they put me in the ambulance, did blood pressure and EKG, and said, "All right, those are okay," but recommended I go straight to an emergency room hospital. Well, I said, "I don't know what to do with my motorcycle." Well, my right arm was just hanging down to my side. I couldn't even lift it. But I said, let me get on the bike and see if I can at least ride it back home in the 20 miles, and Ray would follow me. So started up the motorcycle, and off we went and made it home. Well, the motorcycle, I had my son's portrait airbrush painted on the gas tank. So I wrote it as a remembrance to him. But the side of the gas tank was dented in, all scraped up, besides many other parts on the bike that were broken and scraped up. So my plans now are to have somebody take the gas tank off, put a generic one on there. I'm going to hang up the gas tank in my garage where the picture is still in good shape of my son as a remembrance and tribute to him. The side of the gas tank, which is all dented in and scraped up, is a remembrance to me of why I'm not going to ride a motorcycle anymore. So I've been in, I had 7 pretty severe deep wounds, chin, both knees, ankle, all over the foot, right down to raw meat, and had a wound specialist taking care of that for 2 months' time. Finally, after 2 months, they finally healed up. I've been in physical therapy for over 2 months for my shoulder and my leg and foot, and they're coming along. I got another month of physical therapy to go. But it was interesting when I told the emergency room doctor and the doctors afterward for the physical therapy, I said, besides being able to lift my arm again and walk without a cane, one of my goals is, since I've been playing the organ in church for over 60 years, one of my goals was to play the organ again in church. And to my surprise, the doctor wrote that right into the medical record, that one of my goals was to play the organ in church. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been able to meet that goal. Thank you very much. And remember our veterans, don't forget the veterans thing, to look on the clipboards as you go out. Thank you.
So I mentioned 3 sheets on the clipboards. One is for the prayers for the election. The second is the veterans observance. The third is All Saints Day. We celebrate All Saints Day on November 1st. That's 2 Sundays from today. So if there's anyone in your family who has passed away in the last 12 months, we invite you to add their name to that third sign-up sheet. For those who feel uncomfortable using the clipboards, we also have blank sheets of paper on the 2 tables next to the side door and the rear door, and you can write names on there for either name and service branch for the Veterans Day observance, or you can write your time slot and half-hour time slots for the prayer time, or you can add the name of someone from who's deceased in the last 12 months. Finally, Bishop Love, one of our bishops, the bishop in the Diocese of Albany, is undergoing some difficulties within the Episcopal Church, and so we have a card that we ask that if you're so inclined to write a note of encouragement to Bishop Love. We'll get this signed this Sunday and next Sunday, and then we'll send that off to Bishop Love. He is standing for biblical truth in some legal issues that have come up within the Episcopal Church, and so Advent Episcopal Church stands totally behind Bishop Love in his stance for biblical truth. Let me read the card so that you can have a better idea of what we're saying to him. Blessed is the church where there's a pastor whose faith shines bright, who guides and serves, who encourages and prays, and whose life is a blessing in big and small ways. So thankful for you, Pastor, for your ministry, your care, and for the good work God is doing in and through our church. God bless you.
As the offering is brought forward, please stand with me and join in saying the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. And sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. At this point in the church, we offer the element of bread to those who would like to come forward. Just follow the lead of the ushers. Come in single file up the middle. I will meet you there with bread, and then you're welcome to linger to the side or go back to your pew. Thank you. Please stand and join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. The blessing for this week is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Love to join them with my air steel guitar. It's so good. Might you go in peace and serve the Lord.